have a bit of a riddle for you. Some will say that the first of the month has already passed. We're in the second day already. But the first of the month is actually tomorrow. Possibly. What do I mean? Well, if you've been in the Sacred Name movement any time, for any length of time, you'll know that we observe the biblical calendar, not only the sacred names, but the biblical calendar. And we do that for the purpose of honoring Yahweh and keeping his appointed times and doing these things that are pleasing to him. He doesn't tell us to do certain things so that we can ignore them. But we do want to find what we should be doing, how we should be doing these things, and by the grace that has been given to us, eventually get from a point where we've been crawling to a point where we are walking and actually running for the goal that is set before us. And it's a process. Now tonight we should be able to see the new moon, which is a visible crescent. So it's probably fitting that we would talk about this message today. Some years ago, my wife and I started to come into some deeper truths of Yahweh's Word, and one of those truths was the biblical calendar. Now, we'd been keeping the feast. We had been keeping the appointed times, but we'd been keeping them at the times according to the regular calendar. And the calendar that we have today is not scriptural in the sense that the months fall a little differently. And it's completely calculated. There is no particular, going out and looking, observing a new moon. But we do find that this is the case. And as we were learning, initially we had to go to the library. We had to look into some resources. And I want to just share with you what some of these resources said. Concerning one, the Encyclopedia Judaica, it says, originally the new moon was not fixed by astronomical calculations, but was solemnly proclaimed after witnesses had testified to the reappearance of the crescent of the moon. On the 30th of each month, members of the High Court assembled in the courtyard in Jerusalem named Beit Yahezek, where they waited to receive the testimony of two reliable witnesses. They then sanctified the new moon. I should just mention that it mentions the 30th of each month. Well, we recognize that the cycle of a moon comes around every 29 to 30 days. I guess technically we could say 29 and a half to 30 days, because we recognize the beginning of the day actually starts as the sun goes down. Another source, from Alfred Edersheim, a very recognizable scholar here. The temple, its ministry and services, as they were at the time of, he says, Jesus Christ, we recognize Yahshua Messiah is more correct. But he says, with what care and anxiety its appearance was ascertained from witnesses who had actually seen it. Also, how the tidings were afterwards communicated to those at a distance, for the new moon was reckoned by actual personal observation, not by astronomical calculation. Another source, from the Comprehensive Hebrew Calendar by Arthur Speer, says the beginnings of the months were determined by direct observation of the new moon. Witnesses had testified that they had seen the new crescent. So, after reading some of these things, we discovered here we've been keeping Yahweh's days at an incorrect time. And so we've taken the steps to make sure that we're recognizing Yahweh's calendar and when the months come. Because, like, for example, the Day of Trumpets comes on a new moon. So we should recognize and be ready to keep these days accordingly. Now, what is a new moon? Let's go over to 1 Samuel 20. We find that the new moon is to be honored in the sense that we should recognize when it comes, and I think we should even take time out to not only look for it, but to take some time out and study maybe have a bit of a snack, and maybe even some songs would be appropriate to sing. In Samuel 20, or 1 Samuel 20 and verse 5, starts out, "So David said to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon." Now, how would he know that? Are they calculating back at that time? It's possible. It's possible also that they were outside, and David looked around and saw that there was no new moon in sight, that there was, in fact, no moon in sight. It was in a conjunction. Now, sometimes a conjunction can be two or three nights, so it may be that there was more of a timetable that they had where they could actually refer to that. It's been said that there, since they knew it was 29 and a half to 30 days each month, that they could count and would know from the last time. But nevertheless, it talks through here about King David planning to eat with the king. It says, going on in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 5, says, "Tomorrow is a new moon, and I ought to sit down to eat with the king. Let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third evening." And so talks a little bit more about verse 18. Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is a new moon." You go down to verse 24, again, new moon is mentioned, 27, new moon. But the point is that it was a special event, and it was to be honored. In Isaiah 66, we find that not only was there a time to consider the new moon of old, but there will be a time to consider the new moon of the future. In Isaiah 66 and verse 23, notice that it shall be from new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will bow down before me, says Yahweh. So we know that that has not happened yet. We know that that's coming. Did you know that the moon was established from creation for a purpose? If we go back to Genesis 1, Genesis 1 and verse 14, it says, "Then Elohim said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And so it was so. Yahweh made the two great lights, a greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made them. He made stars also. And it goes on. But we find that Yahweh has placed these in the heavens for a reason. And now when we know a new day has come when the sun goes down, so we can see the sun going down. We know a new month comes with a new moon. But all of that was not given right here. It was not given in Genesis. In fact, you could look at the command of keeping the Sabbath. It is mentioned that Yahweh rested on the seventh day, but you really don't hear anything more of it until the book of Exodus. And there we have more information about the Sabbath. And so those that might say, well, the calendar should be figured by Genesis 14, lose sight of the fact that, you know, it's here a little, there a little. We look at the overall scriptures and find more information to give us better insight and better understanding. Certainly the sun was for signs at times, like the sea says. But it says that these things are for seasons also. Interestingly enough, if we go over to Psalm 104 and verse 19, we find he made the moon for the seasons, and the sun knows the place of its setting. But notice the moon is made for the seasons. So we get a little clue there as to what the moon is for exactly. And it gives the word seasons there as moed, same word as found here in seasons in Genesis 1:14. But it's the same word for appointed times, for the moedim, like high days and such. So we need to know when these high days are. We need to know when a new moon starts so we can have a guide for the calendar. I don't want to get into it too much, but we find that agricultural aspects are inside of the calendar as well. Let's go over to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, Yahweh says, "Now Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be a beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you.'" It's like he's pointing out the new moon to them, and the fact that we could look at also the Abib in this section of Exodus. But we find in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1 the mention of Abib, and the mention of observing the Abib. That is, the early ears is what that word means. And it was known that it was an agricultural and lunar calendar that was established. But you have to pick a little bit from here and a little bit from over here and put it together to grasp that. And there are some out there that are taking astrology and incorporating it into the calendar and saying, well, it's because of Genesis 14:1. And that kind of scholarship is not something that we want to abide by here. When Yahweh says in Deuteronomy 16:1, observe Abib, he means observe the early ears, early grains. And we find that that is barley. And that's another study in itself, and I don't want to go too far out from speaking of the new moons. But we do find that throughout history we've had Julius Caesar incorporated a calendar called the Julian calendar. We have Pope Gregory with the Gregorian calendar. We have postponements with Hillel II, a rabbi who didn't want to have these Sabbath high days back to back with a weekly Sabbath. And so these postponements were put in. And there's been some other things that have happened. But you can actually get a clue, and we did a Revealing the Truth program here this last weekend, actually the first day of the week on Sunday. And it was mentioned that, if you look at the calendar, September and October, what do those names, what are they referring to? Well, if you count from January, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, September falls in the ninth month, and yet Sept means seven, rather. And when you go to the next month, we have October, which is eight. It's like, you can look at an octagon. It has eight sides. You could look at an octopus. It has eight legs with little tentacles and stuff on them. I understand that you don't want to get too close to them because they can, grab a hold of you. And they have little claws, like a little beak in the middle. Anyway, that's just a side. But the interesting thing is that this particular month usually is the seventh month. October usually is the eighth month, according to Yahweh's calendar. And so you have some funny things that have happened over the years. And we have January that's falling in the middle of the winter as the new year. But Yahweh's way is to have new growth. Springing forth, newness of life in the beginning of the year. And so we look at the beginning of the year as in the springtime. But what do we find is the tendency of man? We've already looked at some things here that have been changed, have been manipulated, but yet there's evidence of how it was and how it should be. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 19. says, and beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heavens, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which Yahweh your Elohim has allotted to the peoples under the whole heaven. So we're told not to worship the moon, not to worship the sun, and yet we have days that are worshiped today that stem straight out of sun worship. We have history showing us that the moon was worshipped at one time. In fact, if we go over to 2 Kings 23, we can find this type of thing was going on in ancient Israel at times. 2 Kings 23. I think this was Josiah. Yeah, Josiah that helped correct some things here. You know, it's interesting. He started out when he was 8 years old being king. Of course, his mother would have taken care of him and helped him along the way, and the advisors certainly would have been there to help. But when he turned about 26 here, it says, now it came about in the 18th year of King Josiah, verse 3 there. But going down to let's see, 2 Kings 23 and verse 5. Notice what he did. He did away with the idolatrous priests with whom the kings of Judah had appointed to burn incense to the high places in the cities of Judah and in the surrounding areas of Jerusalem. Also those who burn incense to Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. Just exactly what Yahweh warned the people not to do. What did they do? They did exactly what Yahweh told them not to do. And that was ancient Israel's tendency. Even in the New Testament, we're warned against this. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, of course, we read in the scripture reading today, Acts chapter 15, which is talking about circumcision. You know, that's a token of the covenant, a blood token. And it's part of the Old Testament in the sense that it was a cutting of the covenant, a blood pouring out at that time that had to be done for the establishing of the covenant. Well, we're under a new covenant, and Yahweh is expecting us to be more heartfelt towards it, and we're to be circumcised of heart rather than of the flesh. Now, the book of Galatians is dealing with circumcision throughout. That's the theme of the book, that you can't be justified by circumcision, but through Yahshua. But as we know, we can't come to Yahshua and then expect to just ignore Yahweh's word. Now, we know that we're in the New Testament. We know that Yahshua shed his blood for our life, and that we are under his blood and not under the first covenant's blood. But they had the sacrifices that they would do and go around in circles in that. But we find that, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that there are still things that we are to do. But physical sacrifices and things of blood are something that are in the past for us. They're in abeyance. Galatians 4 and verse 10. Galatians 4 and verse 10 says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. Well, today people observe days and months and seasons and years. But are they correct? Are they in line with Yahweh's word? You know, the sun worshiping, whether it's looked upon as that or not, it still stems from that. And Yahweh has given direct instructions not to do like the heathens do and to worship him like they've worshiped their deities. He doesn't like it. So we need to be circumspect of what he wants and just how he is to be worshiped. That's what we need to be focused on. But here we're talking about pagan ways. We're talking about going back to serving other gods. In this sense. Verse 8, it says, at that time when you did not know Yahweh, you were slaves to those which by nature are not mighty ones. They're not real. And yet, you know, people were worshiping these little statues. We have a little archaeological museum over in Colombia, and they got these little Baal figurines that people used to worship. I can't understand the mindset of that, but that's what the people tended to do. And they were worshiping these worthless things. And verse 9, it talks about this. But now you have come to know Yahweh, or rather to be known by Yahweh. How is it that you turn back to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you were, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? That's not talking about Yahweh's law. That's talking about pagan worship and these type of things that people tend to gravitate towards. Even though they may be saying, well, I'm honoring Yahweh. Well, can you honor Yahweh and still not worship Him in a proper way? I think the answer is yes. And if you would, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 1. And then we'll take a look at this real quick. Isaiah 1 and verse 13. Isaiah 1 verse 13. Yahweh tells Israel, bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and the Sabbath and the calling of the assemblies. Specifically, new moon, Sabbath, calling of the assembly. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. So he's showing, look, I don't want sin, and I don't want you keeping my solemn assembly in with sin. So knock it off, is basically what he's saying. In verse 14, he says, I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So he actually called the times that they were keeping their feasts, their appointed times. And yet, really, they were Yahweh's. But he was so disappointed with the people and so angry with them that because of what they were doing, they were backsliding, they were doing their own thing, and they weren't worshiping Yahweh in the way he wanted to be worshiped. We have to understand he's sensitive to that, and so that we want to make sure that we're doing what's right. Hosea 2, we have a second witness to this. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 11. I will also put an end to all of her gaiety, all of her happiness, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and her festive assemblies. That was the word to Israel. And, you know, if you look at the book of Hosea, It's almost a, well, there's a lot of prophecy in here for the end time. And so maybe we can relate this to some of those that are not keeping correctly Yahweh's appointed times and these things that He has set up for us. They're not keeping them properly. They're doing their own thing. They've come up with their own way of worship. Well, we find that, interestingly enough, gates were kept closed to help keep order in the past. Let's go over to Amos. The book of Amos, just past Hosea here and Joel. Actually, well, hold your place here. I want to back up, though, and go over to Colossians 2 and verse 16 in the New Testament, where we find proper new moons and properly kept feasts, appointed times, were recognized in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 16. Now this has had a good work over this whole chapter with those that are proclaiming that the law is done away with. And to get a good understanding of this chapter, you have to take it in context. And it talks about let me just back up to verse 4 of chapter 2 in Colossians. It says, I say this so that no one or no man will delude you with persuasive argument. What's he talking about? He's talking about wisdom of man, knowledge of man. Verse 3 can confirm that. But going down to verse 8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. What was Yahshua upset about with the Pharisees? About their traditions, about them neglecting Yahweh's commandments, about them distorting, corrupting, and bringing to nothing his commandments. And that's exactly what ancient Israel was doing with at times. And rabbis were doing in the New Testament as well. Called them a brood of vipers. Very harsh words. But going down here, we find that we see that talks about decrees against us in verse 14. He is taken out of the way. Speaking of Yahshua, was he taken out of the way? Well, I think we do see a bit of duality here. We find that Yahshua took the penalty of sins out of the way. We don't have that penalty like a dark cloud hanging over us. We also find that the confusion, he's taken away these doctrines of men and made clear Yahweh's word for us. Notice in verse 16, he says, therefore, or to summarize, Paul speaking here, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to the festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Very clear, he's talking about these appointed times that Yahweh has established. In context, we can continue reading in verse 17, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. And I think the King James says the body is of Messiah, but that is was added, and so it just says the body of Messiah. And in context, what is really being said here is that we are to judge. The body of Messiah is to judge. And you get confirmation of that in 1 Corinthians 5:12, which shows that we are to judge those in the body. But those that are out, Yahweh will judge. And going further in context, in verse 18, there was abasement, self-abasement, worship of angels. Again, we're not supposed to be worshiping these type of things. Taking stands on visions. Verse 20, elementary principles of the world, not of Yahweh's word. That is very clear as we go through this. But teaching, decrees, verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Those were things of men. Verse 22, towards the end there, says the commandments and teachings of men. Verse 23, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. But they were dealing, I think Paul was dealing especially here with the brethren, helping them to understand that they need to get away from these Gnostic teachings that were prevalent at that time. But the point is, in verse 16, new moons are mentioned, Sabbath day is mentioned, festivals are mentioned. These things we need to be aware of. We also need to be aware of what we should drink, what we shouldn't drink, what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, because we're still physical and these commandments are for our own good. And they aren't part of, in the sense, like the circumcision that was a cutting of the covenant or a token of the covenant showing that there's blood involved there. We're certainly under Yahshua's blood sacrifice and not any other. But it seems just like in Acts 15, as there was dissension, there was trouble at that time. People, teachers were saying one thing, and yet true teachers were saying something else. And they did say, you know, of course, look, you know, at least get rid of these worst things initially. Drinking of blood and these type of things, just terrible. But they also mentioned that, you know, from times past, Moses was, and the law was taught in the synagogues. Implying, look, you can continue to learn. You know, get those initial things done, out of the way, and then continue to learn. And that's what we're doing. We're continuing to learn. I mean, at one time I was keeping the feasts, but I wasn't keeping them on the right days. Now I'm keeping the feasts and keeping them on the right days. And there's probably more to learn. And so as we move forward, we learn these things and we grow. And we learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of Messiah, how he walked, what he did. As was his custom, he kept the Sabbath. As is our custom, we keep the Sabbath. These type of things. Let's go over to back to Amos 8 now. Something that I noticed that I thought was interesting. Let me just find the book here. Amos 8. And verse 5. And this is what the people were acting like. Saying, when will the new moon be over so we may sell grain again? You know, they were gathered doing sacrifices as what was instructed. But we find that they would also say, you know, well, you know, when will we get past the Sabbath here? Notice the two are separated. The new moon is not a Sabbath. But here it says, in the Sabbath, that we may open the wheat market to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger and to cheat with dishonest scales. Wow, what a corrupt bunch. And they were saying that they were religious. Well, they had a form of it, but we're denying the power. And we're not to deny the power. We're not to deny what we're shown. And someone watching this for the first time or listening to this for the first time may have never heard of about a new moon. A new moon, what's that? And yet it's something that's throughout Scripture, both old and new, and something that's going to be in the coming kingdom and beyond. So we should be understanding these things, because if we're going to be teachers in the coming kingdom, we're going to need to know what we're doing. And for someone to come up to us at that time and say, well, you never kept these things, what gives you the right to tell me how to do things? You know, it puts us in a, you know, I think it puts it all into perspective if we think about that. But these type of things, the gates were closed. In fact, Nehemiah made sure of that. After the Babylonian captivity, they were still not doing things correctly, but they were trying. Nehemiah and chapter 13 and verse, well, let's go back to the 17. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing that you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Did not our fathers do the same, so that Yahweh brought on us and on the city all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath of Israel by profaning the Sabbath. It came about that just as it grew dark as at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and that they should not be open, or that they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gates so that no load would enter on the Sabbath day. Trouble. Trouble because the people had not kept close to Yahweh. And had not been keeping his laws as he would have kept them, or have had us keep them, those at that time. Now, let's go over to Ezekiel 46, which is prophecy for the future kingdom. And what we find here is the gates are going to be left open. 41 and verse, chapter 46 of Ezekiel, and verse 1 starting there. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, the gate of the inner court facing east shall be shut the 6 working days, but it shall be open on the Sabbath day and open on the day of the new moon. And the prince shall enter the way of the porch and the gate from outside and stand by the posts of the gate. And then the priest shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offering, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate and then go out. But the gate shall not be shut until evening. Now today we have to maintain order and keep the gate closed to those who want to teach false ways of worship. That's just the way it is. I was listening to a minister the other day. He was talking about the 12 spies that went into the Promised Land to see what it was like. And most of them were scared. They came back and gave a bad report. Though that handful of men caused something like 2.5 million to become disturbed and not wanting to go into the land like Yahweh wanted them to go into it as. And so, I guess the point is that he was making, and the point is that we have to make too, is a little leaven leavens a whole lump. So we're particular on who comes here and what they do, and if they're not worshiping Yahweh as they should be, and are teaching others false ways, then we have to deal with that. And if they're not willing to repent, then we have to ask them to leave. But we have a lot of different teachings out there that we are aware of, and probably more that will come. And some of these things, many of them are not new. They're things that have been around, they come around, and we have to deal with them as they do. But I want to just touch on about four or five of these, and I just want to ask a question or two on each one to make us think about them, so that we can also ask the question if someone says, hey, shouldn't you be keeping the conjunction of the new moon or the conjunction new moon? That teaching is out there, that the conjunction, the dark of the moon, is what we should be observing. The question to that is, what is there to see? If there can be three nights of a conjunction, which there can be, which one do you choose? There's another teaching. Are we to observe calculations only by using the United States Naval Observatory? Well, to that we could ask, what about our responsibility to observe and to watch for the new moon? What happens when there is no internet access? Okay, how about this one? The new moon from Jerusalem only. The question would be, what obedience is there to ignore a clear command in your own area? And we have to understand, you know, when the people went into the land, that's when they were to be obedient. You know, we just read Exodus 12 in verse 1. They were in Egypt, and Yahweh was telling them, look, this is the first month for you. Even though they were in Egypt, and evidently they could see the new moon from there, they could recognize the barley. But it says, well, another question we could ask. When you see the sun set on the sixth day, do you wait until you get reports that the sun sets in Israel before keeping the Sabbath in your own area? That's a legitimate question. Because what some are being told today is that, well, we're to look up and observe and keep observe the new moon in the sense that it determines the day, and yet not use the same kind of reckoning here within our local area for the Sabbath. I mean, they'll say, well, yeah, you can do the Sabbath, but not the new moon. Well, show me the difference. Now, it is true that we recognize barley in Israel, but you have to consider that that's holy land. Land. That's the difference. Do we recognize the new days in our area when the sun goes down without recognizing the new months in our area when the new moon is shown? Should we observe a new moon Sabbath? That teaching is out there. A new moon Sabbath. Every time a new moon comes, it establishes a Sabbath. Well, the question would be, does Scripture tell us to do that? No. The answer is no. Another, Scripture always separates the new moons from the Sabbaths. We haven't looked at all of them, but it always makes that separation. And when we look at Leviticus 23, it doesn't give a new moon as an appointed time, as a day of rest. It just doesn't show it. And so though it was a special evening when the new moon was seen, it was not a sanctified holy day of rest. Okay, should we observe a floating weekly Sabbath based on the new moon Sabbath? It's just, you have one that it gets added to, and it just goes on and on. But this is a teaching that's out there. Observing a floating weekly Sabbath based on a new moon. So, the new moon, if it's, let's say the new moon was to be seen Wednesday. That means we would have to count 7 days from that point and keep the Sabbath on midweek. We do not find that we are to be doing that. But a question we could ask is, wouldn't such an observance pose a problem when counting to Pentecost? Now, you have to know how to count Pentecost to answer that question. But if for the sake of time, we don't have to get into that. But I guess we could touch upon that it's supposed to be 7 complete weeks, that it is to end on a Sunday. You'd have a problem with that if you were to do a floating weekly Sabbath. And wouldn't such a floating weekly Sabbath break the command to work 6 days, then on the seventh day to have a holy day of rest? I mean, it's not just that we rest on the seventh day. We work also on 6 days. That's what the commandment says. Now, it's true that, you know, because of ailments or what have you, that you can't always do as much as we'd like. But these are some of the basics of the new moon. That's why I've entitled this New Moons 101, because it is basic. But it gives some information to those that are new, to those that are looking at maybe this for the first time. I remember when I looked at this for the first time, I remember thinking, okay, maybe the new moon does establish a Sabbath, and I'm going to have to observe a new moon Sabbath and tell my employer every time the new moon comes around, well, I think it's going to show tonight, but maybe not, maybe tomorrow night, but either way, I need one of these days off, or one of these nights off. And I admit that I was willing to do it, but I found that Scripture does not tell me to do it. It just isn't there. But yet the minds of men come up with these type of things. And now that we have technology, you know, we have those that are telling us that we can just observe the Naval Observatory's calculations. Now, it's true that we do look towards those type of tools to calculate and get an idea of when the new moons will be showing and when we can keep the feast. But it doesn't set them for us. Those calculations are just that. They're calculations. I can say, well, I think the new moon will be tonight, but I'm not sure. To be sure, I have to go out and actually look at it and look for it. And so there are some other rules even that we could talk about. Like, well, what if it's cloudy? And this is like the 29th and a half day. Well, what if it's cloudy tomorrow? It's the 30th day. Well, in the past, it was decided that it should be reckoned the next day if it's not seen by the 30th. And I think we do the same thing today. But we are looking at a biblical calendar that tells us when to keep Yahweh's feast days, his appointed times. And so it's important. But there are those that are keeping feast days, Yahweh's days, but yet are not keeping them on the right day. You know, is he going to be telling them, look, you know, I don't want to deal with your feast. I'm tired of hearing of these things. Is he going to tell them that like he told ancient Israel when they started corrupting and doing things that weren't right? You know, they were put into captivity because they weren't even keeping the sabbaticals. They were punished for, well, Judah was sent away for 70 years before they were brought back. And that was the amount of sabbaticals that they had missed. Amazing. So may we be careful in how we observe these days and how we calculate the calendar, and that we go out tonight and look to see if it's actually going to be there. It's like clockwork, so we know that. So we do these things to edify one another, to worship Yahweh properly, and to not fade away or to drift away. These things, I think, help us to come together and to worship Yahweh as He wants us to do. But it's for our own good. And I think for in a lot of areas of Scripture, that's the whole point. Everything Yahweh has for us is for our own good. May Yahweh bless. Thank you.